We're live.
We're not live. Oh, yeah, shit. We are fucking live, man. Ha ha! High five! What Embargo, book two, chapter six.
Chapter six? Wow. We've been snailing along. Big
tuna, yellow snapper. We've been rolling in the deep, as yep. Adele would say.
Was that hope you all are doing good. Thanks for joining us, you know. How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm doing fucking dandy. I'm rocking and rolling. As I told you, I've been drinking since 1, so I'm on 8 hours and 31 minutes, and I'm rolling. So, and we're pairing some white wine
yep.
with this Hoyo de Epicure. How are you, right. man?
Good, man. I've been pretty much smoking all day.
What have you been smoking?
Let me tell you just my smoking day. So I haven't touched Habanos in probably like 2-3 weeks.
And good stuff.
The first one I smoked was a 2012 Cohiba Corona Especials.
Oh man, that's good smoke. How was it?
It was shit.
Okay. Well, that's 2012, man. But dude, yeah. The old ones are really fucking good.
No, I agree. I bought them back then, and I've waited patiently for what, 3 years so far. They're not ready. Like it burned like shit. It tasted like ashtray. But I smoke it because at the end of the day, you know, I'm not gonna just ditch it unless if it's got like, I mean, it has some decent flavors, but it was embedded with a lot of. Still, you know, young flavors and a lot of sharpness.
But isn't there, and I'm going to ask this question that I feel, isn't there a part of you that loves that young Cohiba flavor? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? There's just
I do know what you mean.
You can see the, it's, I don't know how to explain it. It's like.
There's a sharpness to it.
Yes, that fucking virgin, man. You know, you can see the potential in the years to come.
Yeah.
And I know that's totally inappropriate, but that's just but like, going down that road.
Right. It's like seeing a good candy. It's like good candy eye candy.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's
fucking
yeah.
Fobs coming out.
Fob, man.
So, like, it's like looking at good eye candy, but you know that it's going to be primed in a few years. But right now, you know, still a really good looking product.
I love that young Cohiba flavor profile because it is sharp. There's a lot of lemongrass. It's very mm-hmm. some of the flavors are very pronounced, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have that balance and complexity that it gets with age. But I love the sharpness that comes with it with its youth. And to me, it almost equates to smoking a non-Cuban in some ways. Because I think some non-Cubans don't have that balance that a lot of Cubans have. So that with some age, it does begin to show the greatness. And with age, they're effing amazing, man.
Well, here's the thing with age, though, because I've gotten some stuff that's got a decade on them, but you don't know how it was kept. So when I grab them and it lands and I smoke them right off the truck, it's not good. And sometimes you give it a couple of months, you let it slowly, you know, get back there in your humidor, then it tastes a lot better. But that's a gamble by itself, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would rather buy it fresh and age it myself. Mm-hmm. And even though, like, me aging it is throwing it in an igloo cooler with some Boveda packs, I have right. faith in that system versus someone saying, hey, I want to sell you a box of aged Cohibas, blah, blah, blah. These will be aged.
Right.
And I still trust people from that. You know, I've had a couple retailers or friends who sent me some vintage stuff, and I believe them and trust them, and it smoked great.
Yeah.
But it's still, there's that whole quality of I've controlled every aspect, and if it fucks up, I know I fucked it up.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the next one I had, I just got finished right when we, a little before we went live, I had a 2008 Upman Connoisseur number 1. Fantastic.
Ooh.
Very fantastic. Yeah.
Nice.
Have you had one of those yet?
A Connie 1?
Connie 1 from 2008.
No, I think I've had 11s, which have been simply just delicious.
Because a lot of people are banking on the 11s tasting like the 08s right now.
Oh, well, the 11s I've had were awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, consistent, great flavor profile, solid.
Yeah.
Can't let you down.
And then
so what else?
This is number three is right, well, 5 minutes before the show started, lit up our cigar pairing, which gets to us about what we're doing today. So we're pairing.
Did you take the bands off?
Yeah, I did, because there's fucking thick-ass bands on them now.
It does have huge thick-ass bands on. I didn't know if you took the bands off for all of them.
No, I don't. I just thought I took it off
right now. Curious. Yeah, that's cool. Sometimes. Well, I kept my bands on.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, mine is a box code.
You had to bring the fucking box code.
AME September 12th.
Mine's 2013 box code. Okay. I don't have the actual box code, but everything I have is from 2013. We're going with the big 1-3, man. The Willie Beeman number. You know who Willie Beeman is?
No.
Dude, you never see Any Given Sunday? Steaming Willie Beeman?
No, I've only been living in the U.S. for like 15 years.
Oh, shit. This movie came out. God, man. Really? Damn. Not sure. Either way, Any Given Sunday. Watch the movie.
Oh, I've seen that movie.
So you've seen Steaming Willie Beeman?
Oh,
yeah. It's got Jamie Foxx.
Cameron Diaz is in there, right?
She is in it. She's like the GM or something like that. She's the owner of the company. Of the football team. Either way, Steven Willie Beeman, 13.
So this cigar is fantastic.
Possibly one of the best Hoyo de Monterey's.
Yes. Agreed.
I'm gonna say it.
Agreed.
You're gonna go out there.
Yeah.
Now you smoke the San Juan de San Juan's, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you, what do you think of this?
It's young, it's bold, it's robust. It's going to need time.
I think that's the potential for also being a great one, though.
I agree. I think with a young rating, I mean, if you factor in the ageability of it, it could really be something special down the road.
So. Yeah, I always like to look at the future.
Yeah, that's right. The future, so, next year when Cam fucks it up at the Super Bowl again.
No problem. I mean, dude, first of all, listen, man, it's my state, Panthers. I was cheering for Peyton Manning just because I wanted him to go out on top, which he did.
Oh, that's right.
But the man was by himself, dude. We got to go back there. We're not going to go back down that road. But, dude, Von Miller's a beast. You know what I just watched last night? Concussion. Did you see that movie?
No, the Will Smith one, right?
Will Smith. I'm telling you. I watched it. I read on CTEs. I believe it. I think the NFL is afraid. They don't want to admit it because they're afraid what people are going to do. You know what I mean?
No.
But you watch that movie and you're like, shit, dude. I am so glad I was not that good at football so that
it's
I never reached that level.
It's very much real.
Dude, I mean, I've gotten concussions. Yeah. But never at that level. Now look at those guys. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But it's for that, you know, short-term multi-million-dollar gain. I mean, which many people do it. I probably do it.
You know, it doesn't – I think in the end of the movie they say – in the end of the movie they say I think like 20 – they did like a study. They figure 28% of the people who come out of the NFL have CTEs. My guess is it really comes to like linebackers, linemen,
right?
And guys who really get a lot of concussions. I mean,
it's not the fucking punter, right? Like,
exactly. Which, you know, I kicked, so I'm probably okay. You know, and it's like you don't see a lot of like Peyton Manning went his entire NFL career without a concussion. No. I think Tom Brady's only had one.
It's get this, good, man. Speaking of punters, so. This is totally off tangent, but I don't give a shit. It's one of ours, though.
That's fine, man.
And we talked about
like, are we? Is this about punters though? Like the punting is actually going to be in relationship, right?
Yeah. So I went to Nika like a couple weeks ago or 2-3 weeks ago, and on the plane.
First of all, you're such a natural. The fact that you just went down to Nicaragua, you're already calling it Nika. It's like, I go down there every fucking
month. Or should I say I went to Nicaragua a few weeks ago.
Nicaragua.
Say it like the way JD says it. So when I was on a plane, I met this one dude. He was on he's a punter, a backup punter for Baylor football team, college team.
Yeah, Baylor down in Texas. Yeah.
So he said if he gets into the NFL and he's a punter, or he gets $600,000 a year being a punter. I was like,
I think that's like the minimum salary.
Right. And I was like, that's amazing. Right.
Dude, I was watching this high school football player. I was like on Instagram. I was like watching these highlights somehow. I somehow was like trolling and I found this high school kid kicking like 65 yard field goals in high school.
Ooh.
And I'm like, first of all, this kid's got a fucking leg.
No.
If you're kicking 65 in high school, you're definitely going to be kicking 65, 68 in college. You'll be making big distance. Dude, in the NFL, I'm not saying you're going to be like the first-round draft pick, but how badass would it be if the first-round draft pick was a fucking kicker?
Dude, first time ever, I think.
First-time pick, the Cleveland Browns pick. It's like kicker, whatever this kid's name is. But either way, man. Bank. It's like a backup quarterback makes like what, $5 million a year at least? Nothing. You sit on the bench, eating sunflower seeds, looking at playbooks, saying, man, Tom Brady really looks good out there.
Exactly.
Man. Way to go, like, Tom.
Yeah, I'll be like, I think I want to aspire to be Tom second Brady, best. But no, I'm pretty cush not getting a concussion sitting on the bench.
I'm good keeping this bench warm for Tom Brady. Just by, hey, man, you need a water bottle? You need a water bottle? You need a
great out there. Dude. I'll go get it.
Dude, that's fucking their fault, not yours. So anyways, back to where we were.
Look at this. All right. Look at this ash. Look at this burn.
Look at mine, man.
All right. So for all you guys think that Cuban cigars have badly construction, you guys are smoking some fucking bullshit out there. All right. Just letting you know. Dude,
if the guys say that they're smoking a Cuban cigar and it's got bad construction, they're probably just smoking an Alec Bradley. Let's be realistic about it.
And they, or
it probably comes from Reyes, it's Cubanas, and it's probably an Alec Bradley.
Or they don't know how to put it in the right humidity. That does matter a lot for Cuban cigars.
Oh, absolutely. Low humidity. Low RH, man. Low RH. So, anyways, we're pairing this Hoya de Monterey Epicure Deluxe, which is a exclusive for LCDHs.
Yes.
Which, for all you out there who don't know what LCDHs are, they are La Casa de la Bottles.
All right. So, getting into our pairing.
Dude, you're getting bombarded with messages. So.
Oh, sorry. Let me.
No. Good. You don't have to admit it. So we are pairing these cigars with two white wines.
Yep.
One of them is a Chardonnay, and we had free choice on any wine. We could just choose whatever we wanted. So we have Chardonnays, and we have Sauvignon Blancs.
Right. So,
June, why don't you tell us what you are drinking?
So the Sauvignon Blanc, I picked a 2015 Cloudy Bay. So this guy comes from Australia, Marlboro, and
that's
this
New Zealand man.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, New Zealand. This is super popular. I see this everywhere, and I've had this. I mean, by the way, I don't drink a ton of white wine.
Yeah,
but I could appreciate sitting back and chilling with a white wine.
I love so many blocks from Marlboro.
Yeah. Why don't you tell people what you picked?
I picked a Sauvignon Blanc from Marlboro. It's called Framingham Sauvignon Blanc 2013. And this is one of the, I would say it's probably one of the biggest regions for growing Sauvignon Blanc right now.
Mm-hmm.
Sauvignon Blanc began in the Bordeaux region. and then it moved around. It's, I know it's big. I think the biggest regions where it is right now is France, California, Chile, and New Zealand. I think New Zealand is probably one of the more prominent places for the wine, just because of the soil.
Like when I go to I'm about like 40 minutes away from Napa Valley in Sonoma. And when I go there, there's typically a Sauvignon Blanc that's offered at most wineries.
Yeah.
But it's never like showcased.
It's kind of like a special wine I found, because I was a part of some Napa memberships. And it was like, you know, the big ones were obviously Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon. But every once in a while they threw the Sauvignon Blancs in there. I'm like, man, these are freaking great.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk about the pairing, what you thought of it?
Are we doing that, or are we going to talk about our Chardonnays as well?
Oh, my bad. All right, Chardonnay. So my Chardonnay, I picked a Chardonnay from Napa, from Carneros, called Vine Cliff Winery.
Vine Cliff Winery.
So this one I've never had. I've actually had the Cloudy Bay before, but this one I went to my local wine shop and I asked the dude, hey, I'm doing a show on Monday and we're pairing Cuban cigars and white wine, specifically a Sauvignon Blanc and a Chardonnay. And then this unhelpful dickwad started to talk to me about how to get Cuban cigars. And I'm like, dude, I'm here to get your opinion, to get your help, all right? The hell's your problem? And he's all like, yeah, like where do you get them? Like, can you get them in the US? I was like,
yes.
I was like, you can pretty much get anything out there.
Dude, you can get anything in the US.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, 14, 8.
What was the vintage on that?
13.
So it was a 230. And I went with a Chardonnay called Korea, which is also from 2013 from Stag's Leap Wine Cellar.
I've had that one. That one's fantastic.
It's
pricey, but
yeah, I mean, yeah, it's one of those. But I picked it because I think when you think of Napa, Stag's Leap is a pretty big name.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're really well known for their Chardonnays. I mean, they're Cabernets, but I think the Chardonnay, which, you know, the funny thing is, it's a pricier Chardonnay. I'm not going to deny that. But when you look at the prices of their Cabernets, it's like dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you want to go buy a bottle of Cast 23, which, by the way, have you ever had a Cast 23?
I have. I had it at the winery, and I have a couple of bottles in my cellar.
Dude, that Cabernet will knock you on your damn ass. I mean, that thing's a beast.
Yeah.
I
thought.
Man, I can't. The last time I had one was, I don't know, 2011. My wife and I got a bottle when we, after we got married for a little while. And we're like, hey, let's have this Napa Cabernet. You know, this is a high premium one. And we opened that thing up and we're like, whoa, this thing's a beast.
Yeah.
And for someone who really likes Malbecs, it really was a beast.
Yeah, because you drink a lot of Malbecs, right? Like, that's one of your favorite varietals.
Yeah, man, I'm a big fan of Malbecs. I drink a lot of Malbecs, some Zinfandel Shiraz. I think those three are probably the best pairing with cigars, typically. Mm. My opinion.
All right, so let's get down to our pairing notes.
Yes.
So, Seth, you smoked and drank your two bottles previous to this show. I'm actually doing it live. So I'll go first. I think this Cloudy Bay Sauvignon Blanc is really good by itself. For Sauvignon Blanc, that's typically considered like a lighter, crispier, like a crisp, refreshing sort of a varietal. This one's got really good body. This one's got really good, you know, refreshing, still good notes to it. So when I'm pairing this, it's not doing anything. It's almost like like one doesn't highlight the other.
It's too much of an opposite.
Yeah, like I could taste this wine, and I could take a sip of it, and I could fully taste this wine, and I could take a draw on my cigar, and I'll, and there's nothing behind it. I could still taste each of the things by itself, but it doesn't enhance or, you know, deteriorate each other.
It's, you know, what I did with the Sauvignon Blanc is actually, well, I'll focus on the Sauvignon Blanc. I drank the wine. I had a glass of the wine by itself before I went to pair it. I wanted to get an idea of the wine with the wine. I know what the cigar is like. I understand what this Epicure Deluxe is. I wanted to see what the wine was like. Drank the Sauvignon Blanc, understood it, then I paired the two of them. This is one of those occasions, and I think this happens. You know, there's the occasion where nothing happens, or one of them, they really help one another out. Mm-hmm. Or one has helped and the other one is destroyed.
Right.
And I think this is one of those cases where with a Sauvignon Blanc, it loses some of that really tropical fruit, nice flavors, the fruity flavors are lost by the cigar. But when smoking the cigar with the wine, there's a spiciness that comes out of the cigar, which I was not getting without the wine.
Yeah.
And I think it helps out the cigar, but it takes away from the actual quality of the wine, which by itself is fantastic.
I agree on the spiciness. I realize it mainly on the retrohale.
Yeah, it's the retrohale.
I will also say within the cigar, I probably smoke like the first third of it by itself before drinking any of the wine.
Yeah.
When I did that, there was such a earthiness and minerality to this wine, to the cigar, that I feel like it's lost when I'm drinking and pairing it with this Cloudy Bay.
Mm-hmm.
But the core flavors of the cigar are still there.
The cigar remains strong.
Right. It's still enjoyable. Like, would I do this again? Yeah, I would. But am I going to reach out for something like this again? Probably not.
See, I'm. If I had a Sauvignon Blanc, no smoked cigar, yeah, it is what it is. Typically, and I'll admit, I tend to go for a red wine when I'm smoking my cigar. That's just what I do. It doesn't matter really what the cigar is. I usually go for that red wine flavor, that red wine quality. I'll say this again with the Chardonnay. I think when it comes to, especially like a brand like Hoya, when you get those classic Hoya flavors, which I think this delivers, I think the Epicure Especial delivers it. The number
Epi-1s, yeah.
Epi-1s, number double Coronas.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to be said about a champagne or a cava or a prosecco with the Hoya brand. I think the sharpness and the bubbles help out one another. I think it complements one another. I think there's a spice and the sweetness. There's a dryness to it, which helps out.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sauvignon Blanc, it's to me, it just doesn't go with this. I don't know if I would pair it with any cigar if I was looking at pairing. It's not bad. It helps the cigar, but I just think it takes away from the wine. And I think you and I are those guys that try and appreciate both, but right. It becomes a little bit difficult.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with you on the whole tropical note aspect of it. It really kills that tropical note. What I mainly left with within this, I'll take another sip. What I mainly left with is just tasting the acidity of the wine and the body of the wine.
Yeah.
The nuances is lost. I mean, but together, they're not fighting together necessarily. It's doable, but it's not preferred. You shouldn't get the full experience. You don't get the full experiences either or.
That's a good way. Yeah. It's doable. It's not preferred. Yeah, you're definitely not getting that experience that you want from both of them. And I think that's what you want with the pairing. I think you want them to work together and go forward. And I understand everyone has their own opinions.
Right.
And someone might say, hey, man, I think the Sauvignon Blanc does great with a cigar.
Yeah.
And you and I would probably both be like, dude, you're on crack.
Well,
but
I mean, like, for instance, like FOH, right? Those guys, when they do, you know, when Kenny and Rob does the reviews, they're constantly drinking some sort of a wine.
Yeah, but have you ever noticed what wine they're drinking?
They're usually drinking reds.
Typically an Australian Shiraz.
Yeah, you're right.
Which, I'll be honest with you, if I don't know how often you've paired a Shiraz with Habanos, but it's an excellent pairing. I don't think Malbecs do a great job. I think Malbecs are a little bit too more berry. I don't really go for the Cabernets. But Shiraz and even Zinfandels, I think, have a nice balance between their spice. There's a little earth. There's some stone fruit berry quality, which pairs very well with Habanos. Especially, like, man, if you get a really good Ramon Ayones, Bolivar, Juan Lopez, you pair that with a really good Shiraz, you have an excellent pair.
Right.
If you get like a Barossa Valley, a Barossa Shiraz, geez, you can't beat it. And I know we sound like total snobs, and as a white shark up in Boston said, ooh, look at that cork popping. You know, we have our pinkies up in the air. but honest to God, that's just where it goes. And I think it can go with some beers too. I mean, I have a couple styles of beer which I just think do better with Habanos than others.
Yeah. I mean, I personally feel like beer overall pairs better with cigars in general, especially with Habanos. And the style of beer, I would probably go with sours and like the Berlinger Weiss stuff. Like something
really?
That's just,
you go with like a sour.
Yeah, sours, it's interesting because sours almost cleanses your palate for it.
Yeah, I can see that. I go for triples more often than not.
Oh, yeah. You're big on the Belgian triples. That's right.
I just think that golden hay color of triples pairs well with the wrapper of Habanos. But I just think the flavor profile, it's crisp. There's spice. There's fruit. It's... I don't know. Belgian triples are the Australian Shirazes of the beer world. Mm. Gosh, man, I know some snob is going to hear that and flip out on me for that, but one of those things.
It's personal taste, man. I mean.
Oh, it totally is.
Taste is totally subjective, but what is not as subjective is when you classify, in my opinion, like body and. I mean, within certain styles of beer, with certain styles of wine, there's certain characteristics that you should get, right? But when you get down to the nitty-gritty aspects of the depicting of flavors, that's a lot more subjective than what people think it may be. So,
yeah.
So, like, I don't know, like if you're tasting out of a barrel-aged imperial stout and you're tasting hot bitterness, then there's probably something wrong with your taste buds, you know. So
I've been wrong on.
That's why I buy them.
Dude, that's why I've been buying that shit for years, man. Fuck. I've been so wrong all my years of loving Bourbon County Stout. I've just been totally fucked up. Speaking of Bourbon County Stout, because you know KBS is being delivered.
Did you get going some?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't come here yet. But you know, I've gone into my store multiple times asking about KBS. Dude, I heard those kids in the background.
Yeah,
I saw you look, dude. That was a classic dad look. That was a young dad look you just gave. You're not a dad yet. That was a young look. Like, is everything okay? Me being a father of two, who's got an older one. You know, so I was just like, dude, fuck it, they're okay. But it's one of those, I've gone in, I'm like, hey, man, you guys get any KBS in yet? And they're like, they've gotten to the point like, dude, Seth, we'll give you a fucking call. I was like, okay. I was like, I'm just checking.
They started distributing here like 2 weeks ago. And let me tell you about, like, so I've been trying to work in on my restraint. So I grabbed 1 4-pack at one BevMo. And then a week later, another BevMo calls me nearby here. And he goes, we got some in. You want me to reserve you some packs? And I said, you know what? That's all right. I'm good.
Wow. Good for you, man.
Right?
Yeah, because everyone, like, they try and limit you. What are they trying to limit you, like a 4-pack?
No, not anymore, dude. Once Founders got, what is it? Who bought them out? Was it InBev? It was one of those big conglomerates, I think. Like, they stopped doing limits here. Like, it'll literally be on the shelf, and then people will just, like, go buy the freaking cases. I could go to Costco sometimes here, and I go get Firestone Parabola. Yeah, Firestone Parabola at $12.99 a bottle, and there's no limit. And I've seen this one dude who's a fucking dickwad. He's probably not listening to this, but he literally grabbed the entire pallet's worth and put it in his cart and then went to check out.
What a dick.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to flip that shit on the webs, I'm sure. So.
Yeah, man. I just – whenever I see the limit, I always go for the theory of let's just see what I can get away with. You know, because in the end of the day, if I'm like, oh, hey, we have a limit on this, I'm like, oh, my bad. Dude totally didn't even pay attention to it. So what I'll usually do is, like, let's say I'll limit it to a bottle. And this is what I did with, like, Goose, with Bourbon County. They're like, they had limited to 2 bottles. I picked up a whole fucking case.
No.
And I'm like, dude, I'm just going to take up the whole fucking case at the counter, see what they say. Didn't say anything. I hightailed it the fuck out of the store after I paid for it.
But, like, if you – my take on it is if you enjoy it, right, if you want to enjoy it for yourself and or give it to some of your buddies or have buddies come over and enjoy them, hey, that's all good, man, right?
That's what I did, man. I shared that shit. I drank that shit. I didn't sell that shit.
Right. It's good.
Yeah. It was a fucking good time, man. So I'm with you. So you open up the Chardonnay.
Yeah. So this Chardonnay is incredibly buttery. It's got a lot of vanilla. It's slightly, you slightly taste the oak, but a lot of vanilla, lingering vanilla.
Dude, vanilla, oak, butter. That's a good Chardonnay right there.
That's
man.
A good Chardonnay. For $30, that's a really good Chardonnay.
That's a really good price.
Now let's see what the cigar tastes like. I don't think it's going to pair well.
No, it doesn't. I don't think it will either.
Yeah, it killed a cigar.
Doesn't it?
It absolutely killed a cigar.
The wine loses so much. The Stag's Leap Chardonnay lost so many qualities with a cigar.
Huh. That is a for sure no go.
No dice. Chardonnays, no go. It's kind of disappointing, isn't it? There's a part of you that just wants it to.
It doesn't work either way. This is a complete dud.
I'm telling you. I had that same experience I told you.
No.
I was like, damn, this is just bummer.
Wow.
Which is, you know, when you have the Chardonnay by yourself, too, you're like, this is a great Chardonnay. I'm just going to drink the Chardonnay.
I don't want to drink the rest of this Chardonnay. I'm going to drink the rest of this Sauvignon Blanc with this cigar, and I'm going to drink the Chard after I'm done with the cigar.
That's what you got to do, man.
No.
Which goes to show, do Chardonnays and Sauvignon Blancs pair with probably the most approachable of all Habanos? Which I think we could probably agree that it is the most approachable of all Habanos with a white wine.
I agree.
And they don't?
No. I mean, I think we pick one of the most versatile Marcas and the Vitola out there. So, you know, pretty neutral in that extent.
Yeah.
Going two different spectrums of wine, of Sauvignon Blanc and oak buttery Chard, it doesn't work.
You know, yeah, exactly. They had from both. I mean, I think one was very oaky, you know, the buttery. And I think there was, I mean, with mine, you know, there was some tropical fruit flavors, but there was some spice. There was that vanilla with the Chardonnay. Did not do anything with the cigar. Then you had a Sauvignon Blanc, which was a little bit drier, a little bit bolder, lots of tropical fruit flavors. Mm-hmm. Just didn't do anything.
Nope.
Which makes me go to my belief that, don't you think champagne is the way to go? And I know you said we got to do a segment on its own for champagne, and I completely agree.
Yeah, sparklings in general, we should do it by itself.
Sparklings in general. But thinking of sparklings, thinking of what comes with either if it's from California, Spain, Italy, France, there's something about the bubbles, the flavor, the dryness, which pairs well with a cigar of this nature, I'd say.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to, for the most part, say scrap all white wines.
Yeah, forget the whites.
No.
Go with the reds.
Yeah.
Now, if you had to choose a wine for this Hoya, what would you choose?
A what? A wine in general?
Wine in general. Obviously, we scrap reds. White, so we're down to reds.
I think a nice Shiraz will do. A Pinot that's got really good minerality to it. Ooh, like a lot of stuff that's come out of Oregon, what will do.
I think Cordero. Yeah, I was about to say Oregon would be one that I would go for that's a little bit more bolder.
Yeah, or something that's within Carneros and up in Napa. I think we'll hit it. I don't think a lighter body aromatic type of Pinot will do this justice. I think you're going to lose a lot of the nuances out of that.
I don't think a Bordeaux would do anything.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, so with that said, I mean, let's just go down the bigger, drier stuff. Certainly not California cabs.
A California cab would kill this.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I think
California cabs probably could only hold up to like some super strong shit. Like, I don't know. Maybe
dude, it would have to be
maybe like Roma Craft. I don't know. Like,
it would have to. I mean, if you're looking at like exactly like a Neanderthal, maybe a Neanderthal could probably keep up with a Cabernet. But most of the California cabs, anything out of Napa, they just trump.
Yeah,
they just would trump on that stuff. It's just too much.
No,
I'm not a big fan of Bordeaux. Anyways, I don't. I know I've pissed off some people by saying, hey, I really don't like Bordeaux.
But I'm not a big old world wine kind of guy. Like, when I smell barnyard and cat piss in a wine, that is not good flavors. That's not good nosing for me.
Dude, yeah, barnyard, you got to get in a fucking cigar, man. You got to get that in like a 50-count cab of Illusiones, that Aganorsa tobacco, other than, or exactly. Like Cuban tobacco. But
right.
I'm not a big Bordeaux guy.
Yeah, it's so what have we done so far for pairings? So this
we did
stouts, so
we did stouts, we did some red wines.
We did some red wines. We did what red wines did we do? I forget. Was it Pinot?
We did a Ridge.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, you're right. We did a Red Zin Ridge, which I think
with a Boulevard, we did it with a Boulevard, which I think was pretty good. It was a pretty good pairing.
Yeah.
The stouts were a fucking disaster.
Stouts sucked.
Stouts were a complete. I'm telling you, you know what we need to do? Maybe we can do some sours. We got to do some triples. I want you to do some triples because I think when you do it, I think you're going to be like, okay, I see what he's saying. He's not on crack 90% of the time, 10% of the time.
You know what's interesting about triples, Belgian triples? I have like bottles and bottles of
Dude, there's like people walking in the background. Front of you. There's people walking in front of you. Yeah. Is there like a wall?
No, there's a trail that's right behind my backyard. In my backyard, there's no housing. It's just open land that the development here bought, but they purposely told them to not. There's no housing back there, and there will not be.
Do you live in an HOA?
No, I mean, I pay property tax here, which is fucking expensive.
But you don't live like in an association,
though. No. I pay like 2% property tax here, which a lot of it goes to the public schools here.
Okay, yeah. So you don't live in an HOA. So you just have who owns the land behind you?
The developers. So basically, they cut open this huge area, and the construction companies they bought this land and then it sold to builders.
So basically that's owned by developers who could do whatever the fuck they want to do with that land.
Right, but in my contract when I signed the agreement, that it specifically states that they will not build on this open land in the back. Reasons why I bought it, because I didn't want to look at houses in my backyard. I'm truly looking at like an elevated mountain looking thing right here. So
nice. So it's just an open trail that people can walk around.
Yeah. So I've walked around the trail and I smoked cigars before, and I got so many bad looks, you have no idea.
Really?
Yeah. Fuckers. Oh.
Man, I walk around the parks here in North Carolina and I smoke and no one gives me any fucking bad looks. I mean, I'm also like 6'4", that if someone so like a chicken like yoga pants gave me a hard look, I'd be like, dude, I'll fucking kick the shit out of you, bitch. Yeah.
Well, I live in California, so.
You live in California, man. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
A little bit different rep.
But yeah. Little off note is that I just got better wireless internet, so I'm able to chill in the backyard now, whereas back in the day when I did the show with you, I was either in the office or I was like inside the home.
You're in the office or inside the house. Dude, I see you got a nice little pergola back there.
Yeah. So, it's good.
You gotta get some ivy growing up on it.
Yeah, I got star jasmine trying to grow up on it, and I got a waterfall. Dude.
Yeah, you have Confederate star jasmine, nice. That's the way to go, man.
Waterfall pond, fish, all that shit.
You have koi?
Yep, I do.
Boom.
Trying to do my dutiful Asian thing, you know.
You gotta get a stone garden, man. I'm not going to lie to you, dude. We have a little stone garden in front of our house. This is totally like, everyone's probably like, holy shit, dude, they've lost it. A little stone garden with two Adirondack chairs and a fire pit.
Huh?
That is our, like, that's our shutdown zone.
Oh.
No cell phones, nothing.
Nice.
Nothing is like, if people ever come over to our house, we don't even allow them to use that zone.
Oh shit!
Cell phones. Yeah, dude, that zone is specifically made to be like zone away from technology.
That's good.
Yeah, dude. So basically, we just end up drinking and getting drunk there. we talk and people talk face to face, man. There's no communication.
There's so much loss in that. Speaking of this, like the community and just talking instead of using technology. So when I was at Dion's shop in Fumar, he has no TVs in there. And he just has some, like, you know, magazines spread out. But he has a seat just basically in a square format. And it's all facing each other. And you either go there and take your phone out. But luckily, a lot of it is people sit there and they talk to each other.
You got it.
There's a lot to say. To say about that, man. I mean,
there is. I mean, my shop's got TVs, but like he's got like music in the background, so you never hear like the actual TVs. Mm-hmm. And he only allows like sports to be on. He doesn't put on like news or anything like that.
Hmm.
It's just sports. That way, you can just there's no political debates or anything along those lines. Because I've been in those shops where it just gets fucking crazy.
Hmm. All right, so. Well, let's talk about some stuff you smoked since we were last on. You smoke any good bottles?
Yeah, man. Let me hold up.
I'm going to pull up my pictures and see what I had.
Duh. Yeah, I was going to log on my One Embargo account, but wait a minute. Instagram fucked up with their update, so I couldn't do it. I smoked a Por La Naga Panatella.
Oh. Plugged?
Which, no, dude, it was fucking amazing.
Huh.
I loved it. I was going with a couple short smokes, just some really tiny ones. Trinidad Reyes from 2008, which is still just a beast.
Nice.
Smoked an H. Upman Half Corona, which I love those things. Great price on the box. Short smoke, tons of flavors. I don't think you get anything, you know. Well, I mean, you can get better than that, but with H. Upman, but that's a smoke. Do you like smoke?
What, the Half Coronas?
Half Coronas.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You know, often, sometimes I go on this like buying spree and then I stop for a little bit and I think, I know exactly. Out of all my boxes that I've had, I know exactly what I like every single time I lit it up, and it will never disappoint me. And that's one cigar, and, you know, like Ramon Small Clubs, Siglo Ones, basically a bunch of Petit Coronas, right? And I'm over here thinking, why don't I just, like, buy all this stuff and then just age it down the road, because I know it's going to be fantastic regardless.
Yeah, why am I buying all this other stuff? I've gotten to that point. Why am I buying this other stuff?
Right.
When I'm not going to be crazy over it. And then, man, after the Brussels thing, it just I smoked some regionals for the Belgium and the Netherlands just because I was thinking about it, and I had them. But I smoked a Bolivar regional Benelux from 2009, which is just a beast. And, you know, whenever I smoke these regionals or these releases from years ago, it makes you wonder, gosh, what were these like when they first came out? These must have killed people. You know what I mean?
That reminds me of the review that you just did for the 99 Punch SS number 2, right?
Doesn't that make – yeah, exactly. Now, you've smoked it.
Right.
And you did not smoke that in 1999, because I don't smoke.
Oh, gosh, no. I mean, I was probably still drinking titty milk back then. No, I wasn't. But, you know.
which it reminded me of it. I said in my introduction, like, in 1999, I was living in Eastern Europe. I lived in Hungary for many years.
Right.
And I remember smoking. I mean, I was living there, you know, probably like five years after the Cold War on till 10 years afterwards. Which, by the way, living in Eastern Europe that soon after the end of the Cold War was crazy. You know, you grow up. I mean, I grew up with, like, dude, McDonald's and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah. So people are like, over there, they're crazy. I mean, all these people are waiting in line for fucking McDonald's and stuff. I'm like, holy shit. It's fucking McDonald's, man. You know, I could bring back like Levi's and Oreos. And people would be going apeshit over them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, you know, so when I was like 13, you know, my dad smoked a pipe. So I just remember walking around Budapest, Hungary, looking for pipe tobacco with my dad. Like, we'd spend like 3 hours trying to find a pipe tobacco for him. My mom smoked Camel Lights, and it was pretty easy for her to find Camels. I don't know if she was smoking Camels while she's over there. She might have been smoking Marlboros, but either way, it was easier. So my brother he was in private school in Massachusetts. So he'd fly back, he'd stop in Switzerland, then he'd fly over, and he'd always bring back Cuban cigars.
Mm.
And I remember the first cigar I smoked was an H. Upman Sir Winston. So I'm like 13 years old smoking an H. Upman Sir Winston. That's the first cigar I ever smoked. So you pretty much go downhill after smoking.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yeah, man, that's like, yeah, dude, that's like 1997, 1998. Oh. Yeah, exactly. And then you're like, holy crap. So I'm like smoking this Punch from 1999, which I'm like, geez, dude, this was released back when I was living over there where it was legal. And it makes me think, after smoking this in 2016, what was the cigar like in 1999?
I mean, it had to be unsmokable. It had to be an unsmokable.
It had to have been a damn beast.
Right.
I mean, you can't go 17 years aging without losing something.
Yeah.
I mean, which, you know, this ties into the football. We talked about concussions. 17 years. Peyton Manning played in the NFL for 18 years. Look at Peyton Manning when he was a rookie till his 18th season. Look where the fuck he went. So you can't tell me a cigar doesn't do the exact same thing he does. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to say about Habanos.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I mean, there's tremendous things to say about that. I mean, so I've wondered, and that's one of the things I wondered, because, you know, I was earlier was telling you about what they go to Esteli and all that. And in general, you know, non-Cubans, they don't age well, right?
No, they don't.
So what makes Habanos on the other side of the spectrum? I mean, what is it? Is it the curing? Is it the fermentation? What is it? I don't know.
You want to know my theory?
What is it?
Non-Cuban market spends a lot of time aging tobacco before they blend with it. You know what I mean? Hmm. So that when they blend with it, it's ready. You know what I mean? It's sure. Like this tobacco is 3 years old. You know what I mean? It's like when a regular production stick costs like $7 out of Nicaragua and it's composed with tobacco, which is like 5 years old. And then you have Cuban limitados, which is like, oh, this is aged 2 years. You can see the difference. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you have a blend, which is composed of tobacco, which is aged. It's ready to smoke. While you have a Cuban cigar, which is a cigar that's composed of tobacco, that's not ready, that you could say is not ready to be smoked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When it's in that cigar format, when it's aging, it is aging with everything. It's almost like when you cook a chili. Have you ever made chili?
Yeah, in a crock pot.
In a crock pot.
Yeah. That's one of my first American buys. That made me feel American.
Buying a crock pot?
Yeah.
Dude, you're a fucking badass. Either way. So, either way, you have a crock pot. What do they always say? Slow and low.
Right.
Slow and low.
Yeah.
You cook it for a long time at a low temperature.
Yeah, let the ingredients meld together, balance each other out.
Exactly.
All of that.
Instead, the non-Cuban market's like, dude, we're going to let every ingredient age by itself, and then we're going to throw it together. They spend so much time making – this is where I'm going to go with this. Cuba has said – we're going to make a great bowl of chili. You know what I mean? We're going to make a great bowl of chili. That's what we're going to do. It's give it time and it's going to be the best bowl of chili you've ever had. While the non-Cuban market says, dude, I'm going to give you the best onions and I'm going to give you the best piece of red meat and I'm going to give you the best chili beans. And I'm going to give you the best fucking tomato paste. And I'm going to combine them all together. Dude, I'm going to fucking throw that shit in there, man. A little paprika, a little salt and pepper. Boom. And that's the best.
Right.
But is it the best because they slow cooked it, even though they had the best ingredients? Or do you take something with decent ingredients that they've worked on, that they've let time do its thing? Because time is what shows you. I mean, where do you get your wisdom? Are you a genius when you're a fucking baby? No, man. You're a genius when you become older.
When you're a baby, you absorb a lot. But the quality of what you learn and what you take in, that's experience. That's time. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think the problem, man, they just don't have – they've lost their Cuban – the Cubans – oh, man, dude, I'm going to be careful when I say this because if this gets out – the Cubans
outside of Cuba.
Oh my shit. No, we're live, man. We're fucking live. The Cubans outside of Cuba have forgotten what it is to be Cuban. And that's right. A fucking American said that. And I'll say it. They've forgotten what it's all about.
So the whole term of Cuban tradition, right? You talk about the Cuban tradition of growing seeds and growing the crop and curing and fermentation. In my opinion, it is a tried and true thing, right? You don't reinvent the wheel. Because even people that hate fucking Cuban cigars, and if you go around a table and you ask those guys, what is your best cigar that you ever smoked? And we did this in Guernica, by the way. 4 out of 5 of the people said they named it a Cuban cigar.
Of course they fucking did.
Right?
Of course they did. Of course they did.
So what's with this hate? I mean, there's enough of the pie for everybody. Like, there's different chefs that make – you could have the same ingredients like you were saying, but the chef is what makes it really shine, right?
But, you know, and this is the other thing I thought about. Have we become so focused on who the chef is that we forgot about the meals we loved as a kid? And we forgot about the mom and pop meals? You know what I mean? Everyone, yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, oh man, fucking Don Pepin. Dude, he was a fucking roller. He can roll, man. Don't get me wrong, he can fucking roll. But, you know, I don't think his blends right now are the shit. And when it was good, he had a lot of Aganorsa tobacco. Right. When you look at Aganorsa tobacco, I've aged Aganorsa tobacco. And let me tell you one thing. Those Aganorsa blends, when they age,
yeah,
they get better. They're
prime
amazing.
Example. Prime example.
And
you guys know, the viewers of us know that when we talk non-Cuban world, we talk a lot about Aganorsa and what we like. Right. So you take Dion, and you call me a Dion fanboy or whatever. I don't give a fuck. He makes some of the best balanced, flavorful, tons of aroma flavors in the world, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So
great stuff. Even this stuff, which I don't care for, is still fantastic.
Right. I respect it, right? So I had the opportunity to smoke a 2000 – when he released the Phantom Singular in 2010, right? Amazing. You smoke that now, it is seriously the most flavorful, balanced aroma cigar – that's out there, bar none. And you smoked even the 2014, what was it? The 2014 Singular, the what is that one called? Like the Anuki or something?
Anunnaki.
Oh, okay, Anunnaki. So, but when you smoked that, you could tell that this will be absolutely divine, give it 4 or 5 years, just like that Phantom is going to be. Right? Like, Dion gets it.
He understands it.
Right.
He's never lost track of what it is.
And I can make the exact same parallel for the Habanos out there.
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, look at a Padura. And there's a lot of people who'll back me up on this, whether they'll say it or not. You smoke a Padura now, it's great. It's really good. It's mm-hmm. nice. It's fresh. Age that thing for 5 years and let's see how it smokes. If it is not the same, it has lost a lot.
Mm-hmm. You can make the same argument for the Drew State Liga Privada stuff.
Oh, dude, Liga 9s don't fucking age 2 days.
No, they taste like shit when they have age.
Dude, I mean, yeah, it's – listen, I smoke Liga 9s while I was at the Drew State factory. Best Liga 9s I've ever smoked. You age those things, they're fucking terrible.
Yeah.
They just lose it. They don't have it. They don't have the touch. That's just the reality of it. I think there's very few blends outside of Cuba that age well. And I think there's something behind it. It's making something which is good raw, which they know will be great.
Right.
And whether or not Habanos and Cuba Tobacco is thinking long term, they understand. I think they're smart enough to understand, okay, this is good now. It's only going to get better. while outside of the country, everyone's focused on what's great now. And I think that just has to do with America in general. How often do we get a new fucking iPhone? Every fucking year, man.
Right. And what is our number one question when we go to IPCPR?
What's new? What's next?
Right? Like, why?
What's the fuck for?
Mm-hmm. I mean, why do you smoke cigars? Do you smoke cigars for what's new, or do you smoke cigars for what's tasty? What your palate hits you on?
You know, and it goes back to, you know, I was at my my retailer. He just opened a brand new location. Rocky and Nish were there. They were focusing on the 20th cigar, and I started talking with some people about Rocky Tell cigars over the year. And I said to him, I said, do you remember when the Vintage 90 and the Vintage 92 came out?
Oh, man.
I mean, those were fantastic. And look at them now. They've gone downhill. And it's just they've lost that. What was it? Because we're so busy focusing on producing four brand new lines that we've forgotten to make what's really good.
Right. Yeah, man. I mean, I hear you. I mean, don't get us wrong, you guys. Like, there's Cuban cigars and non-Cuban cigars alike that we like. And we can get it because we both smoke them constantly.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're one of those guys that only smoke Habanos and you have not touched Agronorsa tobacco, you have not touched some of the stuff that Fuente family's doing and what the Oliva family has been doing for decades, you don't know a true depiction of what non-Cuban cigars are like. You really don't. I'm sorry. So don't bitch.
No, you need to get an understanding.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate of what we are seeing. And you know, I get that question all the time. Like, oh, why do you like Cuban so much? I'm like, dude, just because it's one of those things that if I don't get to it now, it's going to be good tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Agonorsa does it. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why it's not that I'm strictly behind Illusione. You know, smoke the warp stuff out of there. It's getting better with age.
Yeah, just smoke the Casa Fuente lines too.
Yeah. Oh, the Cas Fernandez lines are fantastic with age. I'm telling you one thing. When Nick Melillo sent me the El Guense Churchill when it first came out, Nick, it was awesome. When I first got the box, it was good, but I knew with the Agonorsa tobacco it was going to get better with age. Every time I let that Churchill up, and I tried to do at least one a month, I still have like half a box left. It's getting better and better, and it's just going to keep getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. It's we got some golden age of smoking some fantastic cigars now, and nobody should miss out on it. So
it's one of those things that you and I praise Agonorsa all the time. If you're like, what the hell? But you know what? If we smoke Cubans and love them as much as we do, and we're praising Agonorsa, there's a reason for it.
Right.
It's not like fucking they're sponsoring us or anything. It's not like they're giving us back or shit.
Right. All right.
It's the world we live in, dude.
It is. So let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up, man. So what are you thinking? What are you thinking next time? Should we do another pairing?
No, man. We got a old veteran coming to the show. Dude, remember?
We got a special guest.
Yeah. We got a very special guest coming up in 2 weeks, and
Dos Weekos.
Yep. And when he gets on, we'll talk to him about what he's been doing.
Dude, when he gets on, man, we won't say a fucking thing, man. That would be April 18th.
Yep. And he's already he's confirmed for that. So
April 18th, the guest is on. It's live. Unfiltered, raw.
Unfiltered.
So that's One Embargo, Book 2, Chapter 6, Habanos and White Wine, Chardonnays and Sauvignon Blancs. fail.
Don't do it.
Don't do it, man. Spare yourself. It's like the stouts. Don't go down that road.
All right, guys. Thank you. See you in 2 weeks.
Beaters 19, dos weekos.